Welcome to the 2009 Los Angeles Spirit-Led Prayer Conference.
I have been in the States just a few days here. Started in California in San Bernardino. And yeah, good. Got some San Bernardino folks. Bless you. And then Minnesota and then Tulsa and then here. Made a nice loop. And so fly out this evening. And so always, it's just, okay, we've lived overseas now 16 years. And anytime we just get ready to leave the country, I'm just checking to make sure everything is ticked off. You know, you can just know that you did what you were supposed to do while you were here. And I know it's been that way a couple times at the Sharon's Church in Las Vegas with prayer before going out. And just so thankful. And I felt, this is not preliminary, I feel like it was important to say this. And it is such an honor for me to get to do anything with Terry Pearson's. And I was so, when she asked me to do this, I said, really? And I just was just so honored that she asked me to do just anything, but to do this with you in California, I just thought, I'll hook up on that. There's something to be done. Years ago, we were out here, I think, at a Holy Ghost meeting when Keith and David and I used to do Holy Ghost meetings. We came out here, and David and Brian Mason, a friend, and I went to, it was either Angeles Cathedral or the place where Vicky used to come every year. And we were just drawn to just go there. It was late at night and just walk around and pray. And they're just on purpose means to stir your spirit up and trouble the placid waters where you're just happy with the way things are. But when you go back and on purpose look and see and revisit what God has done in past generations, and you see how high the benchmark is, you cannot be satisfied with anything less. And you can't be satisfied with perfection of the natural. You get a taste of the supernatural and it ruins you for life. And I want to be ruined in that sense. I never want to be okay with perfect natural stuff. Getting it down to a science and precise. Excellence, yes, because God is and supernatural things are. But we want the highest and the best. We want the heavenlies. Amen. So I believe in what God wants and is doing and is stirring up from this place. And I believe in what it will do for the rest of the nation and for what God will bring from this place that will merge with what he's doing around the world. And because I am around the world on the other side, in the other hemisphere, I am very particularly interested in what God wants to bring out of this place. So I am just so grateful. And Terry is such a kindred heart. And anytime I've had we've been blessed to ever talk on the phone. It's just like finish each other's sentences. And it's just nice to just be on somebody's page. And not because you tried really hard to be. It's just that God made it so. Isn't that lovely? And so I love prayer places because That's where the place in God is where I have met eternal friends. They're just that way, and they're the people that you work with in different seasons of your life. And it has been a tremendous blessing to work again with Ray Jean and with Wayne. And, you know, I can just so understand why writers in the Psalms said, you know, my heart pines for those places in the place of God or in the temple of God. My heart yearns because things are real familiar and yet real brand new. I just love it. I am so glad that Ray Jean is a pastor. And I never encouraged him either. Isn't that awful? When I heard Ray Jean was going to pastor, I said, wow, that is new. This is really something. Look what God is doing in these days and times. Don't you love that God can go, and just, you know? But everything is in place and in time, and he's unfolding each of our lives. Praise the Lord. And then on this particular trip, Pastor Lynn Reese, who is not here, she's already gone, but she went back last night, was with me, as well as Jenny Edison. And Jenny Edison, as well as Fran Wiseman, who is a part of Kenneth Copeland Ministries in Australia and Brisbane. We have a prayer group that meets every Thursday. And it's just amazing because I need to say this. I'm supposed to say this. So I'm not just hovering, trying to decide what else I'm going to say. I'm supposed to say this. Terry had been in Australia years and years ago. How many years ago? 11 years ago. And there was an assignment of the Lord to her to raise up prayers in that country. And she did. And then there was this space of time that she wasn't there anymore, but the seeds that were planted in people's hearts grew up during that time. And when Tony and I moved to Australia 3 years ago, I came into the fruit of what she planted 11 years ago and got to eat of the fruit of what she planted in the way of prayers. And I just cried. I just had never had that living overseas. Such people that just were so easy to work with in the Spirit, and I wasn't having to train them to pray. They were already there, and so we just took up and ran together. And it has just been the sweetest delight, and it made me feel at home in Australia. But I tell you another thing it did too. When Tony and I moved to Australia, we at that point in the Spirit, the workings that started happening in the Spirit, I never felt so close to here in my life. Well, in those 16 years we'd been away. So connected, it seemed like. I remember one of the times we were praying, we had this shack we prayed in. And, and she said, it really is a shack. It is, but it's such a holy place. And we found the home that we're living in right now that we're fixing to move out of. We found it on the internet, and we moved into this place, and right at the end of this street is this prayer shack that was, of a church, a precious church over there. They said, if you ever want to pray, you can come down to this prayer shack. And I tell you what, I found God waiting in there saying, I've just been waiting for you to get in there because we got some work to get done in here. And but anyway, we just took up prayer in that place. And I remember the sense of all over there, I know represented in here different different people of prayer, different groups of prayer, whether your whole prayer group is here or not. There are people that are representing many, many different areas and cities and different groupings of people. But I saw this, that while we may be separated by geography or separated by time, when we get in the Spirit, there's a platform that we all work on. And the main thing is for each of us to get in the Spirit. Don't be trapped with all the scuffle around that keeps you engaged with the devil, keeps you engaged with just dealing with people on a flesh and blood level, and just so distracted and so frazzled with life that you don't get into the Spirit. Because when you get in the Spirit, even when you're not together in a place like this, you are together in the Spirit. And indeed, like Brother Halverson, I know he's been mentioned here this morning, but he used to say something. We do march together in the Spirit. We may not in the natural, but in the Spirit. If you can get in the Spirit, you will never feel alone. You will never be alone. You will find that you are in company with people in China. You are in company with people in India. You are in company with people that are lifting up their voices in Europe. You will be in company with people that are in Australia. You're in company with people that are lifting up their voices in Africa. And I'm telling you, it is glorious up there. You get to see the grandeur of the body of Christ. And different parts of the body, when they come in the Spirit, they bring different supply. And we are formidable in the Spirit. And as long as we'll lift our voice up there, and as long as we are heard there, it will set things in order and make things right on down. But our place is in the heavenlies. That is where we are, and that's where we work together. That is where we work together with God. And it is just an honor to work together with you from over on that side of the world. But it's a special privilege to come here and work with you in person. And listen, we get up there and we say, okay, Holy Spirit, what is it you want us to do? Because we love Spirit-led prayer, Holy Spirit-led prayer. Amen. And then when Tony and I left ever so many years ago, we left houses and lands and father and mother and sisters and brother, and God has given us so many wonderful people in all the nations that we've been. But we aren't with our family hardly at all, hardly ever, and we hardly even talk. But it's not because we're mad. We are not mad. I don't think I have ever been mad. I don't think we have ever had strife in our family. I can't remember it. I think my father spanked it out of us if it ever rose up. He was really firm about walking in love. My dad was so firm. He didn't like division. He didn't like strife. And somewhere that went on the inside of me, and I tell you, it's just the way it is. We're not having strife, because what God needs for us to do can only be done together, and we're not going to let the devil talk us out of connections that God made for us to have. And so we doubt what the devil says about the other person, and we believe what God said about that person. We believe in what God is doing in one another. And we doubt what the devil is doing in them. Amen. If you see some kind of fleshly uprising out of somebody, doubt it. Surround it with doubt and choke it out. Amen. Because their workings with God are requiring connection. Can never be achieved alone. So I am so thankful for my family, and I treasure my family. My dad just got back from Nepal, and he was over there ministering, and we have an orphanage over there, and he was checking on that. And so he just got back in the country, and I won't get to see him. But we are always with each other in our spirit. So it's nice, isn't it? It is so much better than refusing the will of God, because it takes you to different places and just mashing together, because you're not going to be apart from one another and then having ugly relationships. I tell you, it's good to release each other to wherever God wants us to go. Hallelujah. That's the only thing that we want for one another. Not, we don't demand that we stay close to one another geographically, or if you don't see me every week, then I'm thinking that something's wrong. I don't think anything's wrong. I believe God is doing things right. And we're free to do whatever we're assigned to do. Free. So we release our friends to do. I'm saying that for a purpose. There's some people in here that need to do that. Release people. Release people to the plan of God. Release your kids to the plan of God. Let them run. I'm so thankful that never once did I feel a leash on me from my parents. A leash pulling me back, that while I'd be in another country, I'd be thinking, oh, I need to be, you know, I feel obligated to be. No, I tell you what, the only thing I felt was my dad's foot in my back. Go. I raised you to do the will of God, and my mama too. Amen. And if releasing it means that they get to actually stay, then all the better. They're there in the will of God, not because of some emotional and sentimental chokehold on them. Amen. They're there on purpose. Not your purpose, His purpose. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So last night when Pastor George and he was introducing his daughter, and I was there in church, which I'd only been on a Sunday morning one time, but the Sunday morning I was there was when he was introducing Cody as a man of God, and it was such a holy moment. Oh, my lands. But what I saw was this, on this platform, on purpose, and in these meetings, and I felt in my heart last night, I was to say this, people are supposed to be encouraged to come to those family meetings. As soon as I heard that the Copelands were doing a family meeting, I thought, people need to go to this. This needs to be seen, because the effects of the fall are absolutely on display. The effects, the fracture of the fall between a marriage relationship, in a family relationship, between parents and children, and children and parents and children and children. The effects of the fall have been in soap operas for years. And people examine the effects of the fall, what the devil did to humanity and all sacred relationships that God ever ordained. And I'm telling you what, it needs to be on a platform and on display, the effects of redemption. Yes. Not perfection, redemption. Yes. Yes. Redemption. Look what God does with a family. Amen. Amen. It is holy. The family is holy. And the devil hates it. The devil hates your family. The devil hates the families in your church. The devil hates the families of those boys in Chicago. And they said that's probably the reason why their family's all broken apart. They're from dysfunctional families. Well, I'm telling you what, before we leave this planet, we need to see on display, in spotlights, on television, YouTube, Facebook, in any which other kind of way, in the devil's face, trophies of redemption. The devil broke marriages, the devil broke families, the devil broke lives, and here it is. Look what Jesus put back together with his blood. Absolutely. Those things are really firm in me, and I celebrate it. It's not like, oh, isn't that wonderful? No, I celebrate it because it speaks. If that TV can speak, in fact, the devil speaks in people's homes a lot. I know when I was going to get married, and I didn't get married till I was 31, and I really wanted it to be right. I knew I had the right one, but I wanted a sweet marriage. You know, you can be mashed together with somebody. But I wanted it to be like Christ in the church. I wanted it to paint the right picture in my marriage to speak. Everything speaks. And I asked the Lord for wisdom. And he said, if you never want infidelity in your house, if you never want infidelity in your marriage, don't bring it in. Don't be entertained by it with anybody else. It's fun, you know, people watch it on the couch with somebody else on their TV. But it isn't so fun if it happens in your own. It isn't so fun if your kids fall apart in your own house. It's entertaining to watch somebody else's kids fall apart. It's not entertaining. It's not entertaining. I'm just talking about using it for entertainment, using that method for entertainment. Sometimes the Holy Ghost can even stir you up to pray by seeing what you see. But, oh, God wants to put on display. Put on display. So I just want, because this is the only family member I got to see on this particular time home, and I won't see her till, I don't know when I'll see her, because we're not coming back for Christmas. And I don't know when I'll see her. But this is my oldest sister, Liddell, and I'd like you to stand. No, stay there. Stay standing. And then Liddell married a guy by the, yeah, come. Liddell married a guy by the name of Snow Peabody. Can you imagine? That was not his nickname. His first name was not a nickname, and neither was his last name a nickname. Snow Peabody. And then they had three children, Sunny Snow, Heaven Joy, and Crystal Rain. They're all names from, I don't know where they came
70.
From.
The
70s.
Not like the hippie days.
The hippie days. And I love my sister. She's the oldest of five. And I always remember her love walk. Always. Always. And I never remember her ever backsliding. I never remember my sister backsliding. I never remember my brother backsliding. None of my other one either. It was just so sweet. Why would you want to go away from it, you know?
Yeah.
But I just remember the strength. She's the shortest of us all, and I'm staying on this step to just emphasize how short she is. I do remember her praying. I do remember her praying. I remember her voice praying. I remember her writing a song that says, do we pray dimly or something like that? Are we praying dimly for the world as a whole or people with souls? And seeing tears come down her face as she'd sing. Just a devotion to Jesus, so clean. Now, I thank God for that, and it speaks. It gets right up in the devil's face and says, yep, Yep, this is the will of God, and it spreads. If wickedness can spread, righteousness is coming forward.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
We're having sisters stand together and pray together and sing together and worship together. Amen. And my nieces are here. So I would like heaven, joy, and crystal rain to come. Oh, they love this, to have all this. But they are so precious. And Crystal just had a birthday yesterday. And heaven. Oh, my goodness. Aren't they wonderful? Hallelujah. This, when we get together at Christmas time, whenever that can be, or any time that we can get together, which isn't often, with Dad at Daddy's house, It's always a sanctuary. And Daddy prophesies, and the grandkids speak things out of their heart and sing things out of their heart. And we lay hands on one another and encourage where they're going to stand complete and full in all the will of God. All these kids are, all the nieces and nephews are going to stand complete and full in all the will of God. I just love it. Hallelujah. We do this together.
Amen.
So I just wanted just to hold these trophies up. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I love you all so much. So much. Praise the Lord. Anyways, praise the Lord. Well, you know, let's go in our Bible to somewhere. Let's go to Ephesians 3. We'll end, for me, in the place where Terry brought us in through Ephesians 1. These prayers, and the Lord put that in my heart years ago when we first started learning to pray the epistle prayers. Well, it wasn't when we first started learning. It was years later when it became a part of our prayer school, and what we would just groundwork, just foundation work for. Oh, Terry and Fran, stand up. These are my Aussie friends. Jenny. I called you Terry? Okay, stand up. Yes. God bless Australia. Amen. Anyways, these epistle prayers, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, there's other ones too, but especially Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, he said those, they're doors. You can enter through these prayers to get into your workplace, to get in the Spirit. They're accesses to you. And sometimes if you just take a run at it by, you know, just trying to pray in tongues and stuff, sometimes if you're just still never really conscious of things of the Spirit, you're still real conscious of your surroundings and natural things, look for ways of access. And one of the ways of access are, because there's lots of accesses and lots of doors. There, different songs give you accesses. If they started in the Spirit, if they came from the Spirit, they can bring you back there. If they didn't start in the Spirit, they can only bring you as high as where they originated from. And so, but these prayers give us access to the place of the Spirit. And so we're going to look here at this prayer in Ephesians, the third chapter. And there's just a couple groups of people that are specifically on my heart. We'll see how the Lord gives us access to pray for them. In verse 14, it says, "For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, we're not going to take time to go back through it, but if you read from verse 1 all the way to it, you see that he's talking about a mystery, the mystery of Christ. And this wonderful mystery that he's talking about has to do with the Gentiles and the Jews coming together to make a new group of people, the body of Christ, the church of the living God. And things that could not ever come together. They were absolutely polarized. There was absolutely no place of connection at all for the Jews and the Gentiles. Except from the plan of redemption made a way for these two groups of people, as they would accept Jesus Christ, they became their own group. And that's what you and I are. We're the church. And so here in verse 14, it says, and for this reason, what reason? The reason of God's mystery of bringing these two groups of people together. I bow my knee unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Verse 16, that he may grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, may Christ through your faith dwell in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. May you have the power and be strong to grasp with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth. And may you know the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, that you may become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself, as we were praying the other day. But I want you to notice down here in verse 18 that you would have the power and be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the height and the breadth and the length and the depth of that love of God. To be able to get a hold of the immensity of the love of God, you have to be able to grasp it with all the saints. In other words, if you could picture in your mind one of those great big balloons, air balloons that has a basket onto it, for it to be moored from up in the air, for it to be moored to the ground, for it to come from up here to the ground, several ropes are utilized. And if only one rope is, the other part of the balloon has buoyancy and goes up, and it's difficult to get it down. But if you have several ropes around, you have several different people on the ground, each taking a rope, they each and all together moor that to the ground. They bring it down together. And that's what I see in the love of God. For us to firmly grasp what is the height and the breadth and the length and the depth of the love of God, it can only be grasped with all the saints. I can understand the love of God in a glorious way myself, and I pursue that, and I fill up with it all the time. But for me to comprehend how big the love of God is, you must take a hold with all the saints. All the saints. Some things you will never have understanding of by yourself. And, you know, like what Pastor George was saying this morning, it is imperative, even though you have your Bible, you have CDs, you have good shows coming on television, you have all these means, it is imperative to be in a church body. Because there are some things that you comprehend of God corporately that you cannot and don't have access to singularly. And it's not that you can't understand the most that you can by yourself, but there is an aspect of God that he reserves for corporate manifestation and revelation. He comes when we all come together in a very unique way. And he only comes when we're together in a unique way. And so it is imperative that the connections that God wants you to have, that you make, and then you keep. And then that you are connected with people, a lot of times through prayer, that you may never see in your lifetime. But you are nonetheless connected with them. More and more when I pray, and from this place, if from California, they're to affect the world as they did years and years ago. Years and years ago. I've gone back over some of those things. From this place, they prayed around the world. I remember somebody was asking, or was in Amy Simple McPherson's Bible school. And she told her Bible school one morning, she said, "Would you like to go with me on a trip around the world?" And all the students put their hands up. "Yes, I would love to go with you around the world." And she said, "Then let's go." And she got down on her knees. They thought they were going to go get their passport. But this kind of travel, you don't need a passport. You've already gotten a passport. You've gotten it by the blood of Jesus to the throne of God. And literally, from where you are, you can go anywhere in prayer. And there is, in these days, being a connection made, parts of the body being made aware of other parts of the body, connected to other parts of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a strength that comes out of it. There's a strength that comes out for another part of the world. I cannot tell you how many people around the world are praying for America right now. Isn't that as it should be? We've prayed for other parts of the world, but I'm telling you, they're on their face. Serious. That church that I mentioned last night from Indonesia, you want to hear them pray for America. And do you know the main people that they pray for in America? Is us, the church. They pray for the church because they know if the church stands up and stands together, then the nation can stand. They have come on. They have come on the revelation that God's power is dispensed and allocated through the church. Hallelujah. So they do pray, but it is a wonderful, wonderful connection. I remember years ago when I was probably in the fourth grade, and fourth and the fifth grade, it was in there. We would pray so much for, it was right then, you know, it was the Soviet Union. That's what we called it back then. Huh? Russia. Russia, the Soviet Union. And we subscribed to some kind of a magazine of underground church. And do you remember we'd get that? I can't remember it was Brother Andrews or whose it was, but I remember seeing pictures in that magazine of, of families whose fathers had to go to prison because of being a Christian. And they would always have, you know, black blocks over their face so you couldn't see who they are. And then that made a real impression on me as a pastor's daughter, because my dad was a pastor, and it was in the days, you know, we wondered if Russia was going to do whatever they were going to do. And so I tell you, it made such an impression on me as a little girl, and I hid Bibles all over the house, because that was the first thing, you know, they would come and collect all the Bibles, and they would burn them in the street. You know, I saw that in a Chick Track, and I took it as truth. Did you ever see that? Okay, you saw that. But as a little girl, I remember I was so concerned that they would take away my dad to prison. And I knew my dad would give his life for the gospel, because he was already, you know, he had given his life for the gospel. And so I started And, you know, they'd say, pray for this family because the father hasn't been here and the pastor's family hasn't eaten, you know, and they haven't. So, you know, that really affected me. I started storing food up in the attic. And, you know, whenever Mama would go to the store, I would siphon off all. She'd say, I thought I bought some. And I never considered it stealing because I felt like I'm laying up for the salvation of my family. And I saved boxes of food up. I mean, stashes of food. This went on probably 2.5-3 years. So I was saving up food. And then if they ever sent me to the store, I would save, you know, some of the change. I would try to do it so it didn't look like I was embezzling. But, whatever of the change, I would keep some back, and I saved it. Well, one day, I don't know if it was Steve or Scott, somebody went up in the attic to get something, and they came back down. They said, there is bunches of food in the attic. And just because, you know, my parents just, no, the person, they knew it was me. And they said, what is this food in the attic? And I said, if the Russians take over, I don't want our family to be without food. And the money that I saved, carpeted the downstairs. Remember, we got our downstairs carpet. They said, no, we're not going to be storing up stuff like that, you know. We're trusting the Lord. It's going to be all right. And, oh, things changed and everything. But we did have such a place in our heart for that part of the world. And my sister was over the youth group, and we had a glorious youth group. And we had a glory. The youth group wasn't just in our church. It went into all the churches. And we remember that. And we had such a revival in our city, and kids everywhere got saved. God came to our school. And but anyway, they were here on this special night. We were going to pray for Russia, for the church of the Lord Jesus in Russia, and for there to be strength for them over there, so that they wouldn't compromise, or they wouldn't fall, but they would be strong in that part of the world. So my sister arranged that we would have, you know, give to all the people that were going to be coming. There was quite a goodly number. And they each got different directions of how to get to the location where we were going to have the service. And so it started off all over our little town of 2,500 to 3,000. We had a little bitty town. But everybody started in different locations. And she had made it so people were going down back alleys. And this was at night, so it made it, you know, people were, by the time they got to the location, they were, even though we were in Burlington, Colorado, it kind of gave the sense of something amazing happening. They were going through backyards, and they were, you know, and where they all ended up was in that very same attic. We all ended up in the attic. And Liddell had a lantern in there, and there were kids all around in the attic. And by that time, because they'd been creeping around the city in the dark, everybody was really quiet. And they knew the purpose for which we were there. And they got, she pulled a plank up and got a Bible out. It was so much fun. We were all like this. She started reading the, you know, the lesson for that evening, and it was all so good, and da-da-da-da-da. And then we heard somebody come banging on our front door, the parsonage door, bang, 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 and she'd arranged that two of the deacons in our church would do that. And they came, one was the baker of the city, and one was a farmer, and they came over and were banging on the, we know you're in there, we know you're in there, and they came through the house. We could hear them banging doors in the house, banging doors, and everybody was just, scared. And we had Baptists up there. We had Methodists up there. We had Pentecostals up there. It was a very interesting group of youth. And so finally they came in the garage. And we could hear one of them say, "Look, there's an attic." And we were... And they janked on that string and down the ladder came, and they came up in there, and we recognized them. They were my dad's deacons. It made no... And the baker of the little town. He looks like Santa Claus's younger brother. I mean, he was not KGB at all, but it just seemed that way, you know. They came up and they looked so mad, and one of them had a gun, and they probably both had guns because we always have guns in Colorado. So they said, "Who's the leader?" You remember that? "Who's the leader?" No one would answer. No one would answer. And they said, maybe something like, "If you don't say who the leader is, then we're going to take you out one by one." He said, "Who's the leader?" And the Methodist preacher's kid that had gotten saved, he'd been on drugs, he'd gotten saved, and he stood up, he said, "I'm the leader." Remember that? I was so proud and so embarrassed at the same time. I thought, "We're the Pentecostals. What are we doing not raising our hand first?" But anyway, this guy, this preacher's kid, Methodist guy, that had been on drugs, everybody knew it, he raised his hand. And they pulled him down the stairs and took him in the backyard, and they had a blank in the gun, and they shot it, you know. We were, "Woo! Jesus! Woo!" So, but he came back, and you know, we stayed up there. I'll never forget it. We prayed for a place far away, and that place was ever so close in our heart. Those people were close in our heart. When I was a little girl, it was a few years earlier than that, because that part of the world had always been really, really big in my heart. And I prayed one night. I had like such an unction to pray. And I prayed. I knew I was praying for a girl my age in Siberia. I knew it. I could see her in my heart. And she was crying. And I picked up her cry and cried with her. And I hooked up with her infirmity to lift her. I didn't know that's what I was doing, but that's what happened. There was a lifting. And when that released from me, but she stayed in my heart. Years later, I went to Russia with Billy. This was still before communism fell. And we broke away from the group, and we went to a place that we all had to sneak and go in different cars, just kind of like we had done it in Colorado, only this was the real deal. And they said, "Don't look happy." They said, "It's a dead giveaway. You have to, don't look happy." It's hard for a Christian that knows Jesus not to look happy. So we ended up all in this room, packed, jam-packed full. And there were four girls who had come seven time zones on a train from Siberia. And all through that service, this one of those girls and I just kept looking at each other. I'd look up and she'd be looking, and or vice versa. And as soon as it was over, we just came together, couldn't speak a word to one another. She didn't know English. I didn't know that dialect of Russian. Other dialects I know well. No, I'm kidding. I don't know any of them. But no, so, but I, but The Holy Spirit said, this is the girl you prayed for in the fifth grade. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? But there are people you won't meet on this planet that you are praying for today. There are some guys in Chicago that you may meet. They may end up being preachers and come out here. But I'm telling you what, a door was opened to get those guys in Chicago today. I believe it. I believe it. I believe that help came out of Zion today and strengthened Bill Winston's church as well as the other churches in Chicago. I believe it. I believe that there was an unction, a rush of the Holy Spirit that helped people that were like this do this and stand up and say the will of God for their city. And no demons are just going to come in here and without any resistance at all, tear up the boys in the city. We're not having it. Tear up the kids in the city. We're not having it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. In these days, we're seeing and we will see things coming together. There is a coming together. Your church is an ecclesia. It is a called out group. The church is the ecclesia. We're called out of darkness into his marvelous light. But we're going to start absolutely seeing the dynamic of that connection. And you talk about glorious. But where these connections are lubricated and exercised is in the place of prayer. Is your connections in prayer. People that you know, people that you don't know. But whoever God connects you to in prayer, they are to be, it's to be maintained. Not mentally, but according to Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 18th verse, you pray at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And in that place, you watch all saints. All saints. And from this place of California, strength can go over to a church in another part of America or Colorado, but strength can go to a place in Europe. Ooh, in Europe. Ah, there is some strength to come out of this place for Europe. Thank you, Jesus. And God makes it so that no part of the body just stands on its own. We stand together in him. And together, we are the fullness of him. Together, individually, his fullness is in us. But together is recognized by all his fullness. Amen. And so I believe that in your individual prayer life, I speak this and declare this, in your individual prayer life, in your corporate prayer groups of two or three or more, and in your church prayer meetings, there is going to be such an increase of an awareness of the communion of saints. I believe it. When you pray, it'll be that way. When you sing, it'll be that way. You'll have a knowing in your heart. You're singing with or you're singing for someone other than yourself or even the group that you're with. And not only that, but when you literally take communion, when you partake of the Lord's body and you partake of the blood of the Lord, you'll be conscious that around the world, people are partaking of one body. And they're under one Lord. And they're born of one Spirit. And they're in one body. One. We are one. And as one, we are so strong. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Holy Spirit connections. They're faster than Facebook. They're faster than Twitter. They're faster because they are eternal, which means that they happen and you can be contacted before you even need to be contacted. Oh, some make shade. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Because right now, kede bede, pull on that. Yele kede ve jarakuru do sondere di shtiti. Klamananando, klamenenende, klaparafazzo. Ye trululurukuru do stundere. What was that, Lord? What was that? Ye de dia karabazornenende de dia vresandere di avrete. Where's Aubrey? Thank you, Jesus. Is Aubrey here? Yeah, Aubrey, if you can come, and Lindsay, if you can come, cousins. If you can come, and then Heaven and Crystal, if you can come, they're mine, and Terry, if you can come. I just want us to see something here. Just keep on just praying, just quietly in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, just keep your motor running. Come back here. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want you to see about divine connection. Divine connection. You guys can be connected. We're put in the body, not as it pleases you. Oh, I want to be with her. I want to be with them. Or I like them. I connect. No, you're put in the body as it pleases Him. And sometimes God connects you in prayer to people that you don't really have a natural liking to. On purpose. Sometimes it's that way. Sometimes because He connects it makes you tender to them. People that you wouldn't have been tender to before. But He makes these connections in the Spirit. Actually, link up arms. So because we're put in the body as it pleases Him and we are connected to one another, none of us stand alone. None of us do. There are connections. And there are to be connections for all the people that come into the body of Christ. People that just get born again need to immediately feel connected or be connected. Yeah. And they are in the Lord. Well, what happens then if any one of these people externally, I mean the devil or life or principalities or whatever, if anything tries to pull them, break your connection, if anything breaks your connection, if you don't keep your connection and something pulls you, it isolates people and they are easy to pick off if they're isolated. Even in their thinking, if they're isolated, if they stand alone, and the devil, just like, you know, different animals of prey, predator animals, they like to pick off things that get isolated. And so he'll pull on something, and if there's not a strong connection, it isolates it and makes it easy for the devil to do what he wants to do. However, if you have a connection and will not let go of that connection, then if there's something that pulls, then the person that is directly connected or right now, as you can see here, immediately feels it, don't you? But if there's a multiplied attack, if there's a multiplied attack, it pulls other things down the line. People that may not be directly connected to Terry end up feeling pulled clear down here. They may not even know Terry or have ever been blessed by her ministry. But if there's ever a pull there and there's good connection, then as many members of the body of Christ that's necessary to get the job done, woohoo, the Holy Ghost calls them up. If it takes more troops, then so be it. If there's a multiplied attack and meaner devils come. Sorry about that. But if meaner devils come, then they're empowered to help her stand and stay in her place. This is not just happening just in local churches. This is not just happening in just geographic areas or states. This is happening all over the world. And when one member suffers, the whole thing, whoa, I'm coming up on that. And when one member is blessed, I've been in services before, and I one time was at your church, Vicki. I can't remember what we were singing, some kind of worship service, and I thought, oh, man, anointing just went all over me. And there was such a worship of God, and I thought, this isn't mine. Somebody has had something in God someplace else in the world, and I'm getting in the joy of it. They've seen somebody raised from the dead, or they've seen some kind of an amazing miracle, and I've just been notified in the spirit of it, and woohoo! I've got my own reasons to praise the Lord, but I'm telling you, when you are connected with one another, you can praise the Lord all the time because He's doing stuff all the time all around the world. Amen. There's more that be with us than they that be against us. There's more angels on our side. The body is strong. The blood of Jesus avails. The word of God abides forever. We are so loaded. Hallelujah. And we will prevail in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Now, this is the only last part I have, and then whatever you get, or Brother George, if whatever you get. When you were singing, because you look so much like my niece. Oh, my goodness. She looks like Alicia. Those eyes. Mark and Trina's are. Anyway, I love her, but now that I know you, I love you too. For you. But I love that gift. Do you know what I saw? This is one area that I just know we're to pray from this place. Those words that she said about the blood, well, the song also, but then the words that the Holy Ghost gave her about speaking, was that strong or what? Oh, my goodness, that was so strong, such an inspired word. And, you know, I know this is a silly example, but sometimes the Lord has to give me really plain and simple things for me to understand. You know how it is with cows? Baby cows, baby calves, they can't eat the grass. Their systems are not yet developed to be able to digest grass. But what they can digest is milk. And so I saw that as people that have grown up in God, people like you guys that have grown up in God and have heard the word and eat of the word, that in your spirit, in these days, is being processed away to give it to this next generation. dramatic truths, really strong truths, that it would take them years to get through by just reading some of the same things that you guys grew up on. But as you process those things in your heart and feed on the Word of God, feed on Jesus, feed on the things of the Holy Spirit is doing a wonderful work of processing that in you, that when you allocate it, it's in a way that they can get it. It's the precious milk of the Word for this generation. You'll help connect. Because there, I'm telling you, there is going to be a landslide of youth coming in. And they're going to need to stand up fast. And they're going to stand up strong. And they're going to stand up mean. And they're going to stand up ready to go. And they're going to stand up not afraid of anything in the whole world. But they are not to stand up with emotion. And listen, they're not to stand up with passion. And I know sometimes that word is used okay and everything. But you don't have to have a passion to do the will of God. You just have to have obedience. And when there is no passion at all, no desire at all in your flesh, in your soul, it's been pounded and pounded. I'm telling you, just like Jesus, you can choose and set your face like flint to do the will of God. Amen? And then if passion is there, also fine. But there's something deeper even than passion. And it is resolution in your heart, like the Lord Jesus, to do the will of God. So, but I see this new group standing up with that kind of in their core, like the core of the earth is just absolutely glowing with heat. So the core of this young generation standing up will just be absolutely heat. Just hot with the will of God. And they'll just do it. And they don't have to be pumped up, made excited. Don't have to, you know, have a lot of bells and whistles to make them excited. Because the Holy Spirit will ignite something that just burns on the inside of them. Thank you, Jesus. Something being processed to get to this next generation. Thank you, Jesus. So we just need to pray about this. Now, can you help me do that?
Yes, they've been watching for this moment.
Yeah, okay.
For a couple of days. And I know Lindsay has her prayer group. How many of your girls are with you today?
There's just one more.
One with you. Come on up.
Yeah.
Who is it? Who's with you?
It's Megan.
Megan, come on up. And I don't know if you even want to call up any of the others this age, this age. If you want to come up.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
If you're around this age,
come on up. Destiny, it's Destiny?
No, not Chorus. She's here.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Rainus, come on. Rainus, girls. I think, they're coming. Anybody else?
Good,
Lindsay's got a group. How many are there? About four or five of you girls?
About seven of us.
About seven. And they're gathering here in Los Angeles. And they are praying. They are so fired up and turned on. Praying.
Good.
Kevin and Megan and Caitlin and then another girl named Mel and Nikki. We were here the other time.
Praise God. Come on, there's
some. This is good.
This is a good thing.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now this group needs that impartation, that help, the same way the pastors did. It's a little different because right now we're praying not just for them but for what all they represent to us.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Wayne, can you come?
How many of you are musicians? Quite several of you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's important as you pray. You know, what God puts in you, when there are times for that to be when you're a musician and you're functioning as a musician, but for somebody to take that, what you are and who you are, when you take that into prayer,
that's it.
And then that, you begin to lift. You're a vessel for lifting it up in a different way.
Yeah.
You take that. When you put yourself on the altar, you're putting the gift on the altar. When you lift up your own life, then you're lifting up that gift that's in there too. I mean, making sense. You bring more than just your, just Aubrey or Lindsay or Heaven. It's not just you, it's what's in you that comes to. And you bring that in an authority as well. You have a right. God's given you that right, granted you that right to ask for, to believe for, to receive.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, and we're going to, the Holy Ghost is going to bring a prayer.
Yeah.
And he's going to bring a prayer for you, for this generation through you guys. And as well as praying for them. A couple weeks ago, I was just in my house. I was on my daughter's bed, and I said, I was talking to Lily, and in the middle of talking to her, I said, something's needs fixed. In your mind immediately, you know how that is. You'll say, okay, what is it? What is it? Did I leave something on the stove? something's in my spirit. Something's agitated. So I was trying to just get it off. And I went in my bedroom, and it just kept on intensifying. I needed to get a lot done, but it just kept on intensifying until my vessel got filled with it. And Annalisa was in my bedroom with me. I said, She goes, what's wrong? I said, you know what, Anna? I have something that needs to be prayed, and I've got to do it right now. She said, what do I need to do? I said, whatever you need to do, I need to go pray. And so I just went in the living room and laid on my face. She went and got Lily and another girl that's staying with us right now, Sarah, and I was oblivious to them. But a spirit of, I hadn't had travail like that. Travail. Strong praying or weeping, but it was travail. And you think sometimes, do people need to be taught along that line? I was never taught along that line. I watched sisters in our church, watch my sisters move in the Holy Ghost. And when travail came on us, that's how we prayed that revival into our, that changed our school. It was birthed. It was prayed. They don't have to have a lot of education on it, except in the Spirit. And I believe that the Holy Ghost is setting a platform for kids to come along fast. Come along fast in the things of the Spirit. But there are things that do not exist yet on this planet that must be prayed in. Must be prayed in. And not a little dribble prayer, but birthing type of prayer. I mean, travail type of a prayer in the sense of, oh, it's bigger than you. And it gets what's in the heart of God into the planet. Thank you, Jesus. You want that? Thank you. You want that? Is that okay? Praise the name of the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
You got something.
I want us to stand up. Get your Bible and look at the 78th Psalm before we pray.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
You're right. I think they're supposed to pray.
It says, turn to Psalm 78 and look at verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And that's the word of the Lord for them. That's the word of the Lord for them. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Stretch your hands out to them right now. One generation to another. One generation to another.
One generation. One generation to another.
That these are, they're supposed to pray.
Thank you.
You need them in that.
One generation.
Four of you, Liddell, if you would come, and I have a Brenda, come please, Mary Lou, and we're going to mix them in with you girls. Just mix in with them, hook up with them, and they're going to one generation to another. And what we're going to do though is we're going to hook up with you to pray. You're going to pray, and we're going to help you
pray.
Because what these ladies that just came up here, they've been eating grass for a long time. They know. But they're going to take hold with you as we pray and hook up with you in prayer and help you. And you just hook up with them and go and let them help draw you up into a place of prayer. Because I think every one of you up here are prayers. Am I right? Yeah, I thought so. Hallelujah.
One generation to another generation, declaring the works of the Lord. One generation to another generation, declaring the works of the Lord. One generation to another generation, passing the inheritance of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Giving a treasure, a most precious treasure. It's the treasure of the Lord.
It is.
Impartation. It's a glorification. It's the riches of the glory to the Lord. It's the riches of the glory to the Lord. It's the riches of the glory of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay, George. Just start singing. What he was singing, one generation.
Try to stop you, but they won't.
No, they won't.
But they won't, because we're a body. We're connected.
We're connected.
We're strong in Him. We stand strong as this new body, yes. This new part, this new place in Him. New place in heaven. Voices, new prayers, new strength that we've never felt before.
New heights,
oh, new sweetness, a new peace like we've never witnessed before. Don't back down, don't go down, but take the ones that are off with you. Grab them, not by the hand, but by the Spirit.
Yes.
Connect and bring up.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, there is something that needs to change.
Hallelujah.
Among our young people. And we've been singing in a minor chord. And where music is concerned, I've seen this over and over again. The worship is kind of dark. And I don't see very many young people smiling. And I believe that there's going to be a move of the joy of the Lord in our generation. And they're going to catch hold of who they are and rejoice in it. They're going to rejoice in it. And you are going to see them enter into a place of the joy of the Lord.
Yes.
That's the next part of the move of God with our young people. Yes. You're going to see them smiling again.
Yes.
And we don't have to frown to press
no,
in.
No, we don't. No.
But we can come before the Lord in joy. There's a whole new slew of contemporary joy songs that are coming out.
A whole new
group of joy songs.
Yep.
A whole new songs that are going to rise up from the heart of our young people who know who they are. They know where they're going. They know the destination. And they stand in it. And they rejoice in it. Oh, we rejoice in you. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in you.
Oh boy.
Huh?
You know, I told Terry, I said, they're all girls.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they are. And you know, that is so all in the sequences of God. All in the sequences of God. But you're not to start praying until the men arise. It just works that way. In prelude to all outpourings, when you ever look in history, the people that are noted and written in books that they prayed are men. But if you check before the book, the people who helped pray those men into their place were women. And last week at Lynn's, at her prayer school, the Lord told me, he said, you can tell where we are in pre-outpouring prelude by how many men are praying. Because when men take their place in dominion, the ground moves under their feet. Things change. Hallelujah. They change with men. I remember we started praying as our youth group, that great big youth group was all girls. And we started praying. Kind of started praying so the guys would come. They never came in when we were there necessarily, not those. But I'm telling you, a slew of young men came in, and they weren't just guys in the youth group. They were Holy Ghost-filled preachers. Amen. And I'm telling, there's a whole generation of young men coming up, and they will stand and not be weak. They will be stand and be strong. Women are like kindling. And you don't start a fire by lighting a log. You start it by starting kindling, because you catch fire easy. But I'm telling you, that heat under those logs, there's some big logs that are going to catch fire. Whoa.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Big logs.